Hi, it's Larry here of Xbox's Major Nelson. Welcome to the official Xbox podcast. In the studio this week, joining us, we have Malik Prince over there on the right, who's filling in for Rebecca, who's out of office or whatever. I don't know where she is, actually. She's out of the country.
She's
who knows?
She's in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, but it's...
I'm jealous.
Living her best life. Yes. Yeah.
But Jeff and I are homebodies, apparently, just like you, Malik. So, well, thanks for stepping in.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here. I know Jeff has always harped. I watch the show, obviously regular watcher, viewer, has always harped on you for the intro. You got to do the YouTuber intro, subscribe, thumbs up, all the things. But I was wondering, do you all have like a audience name? Like how Kind of Funny has best friends. I wanted to address the audience. I feel like we need that.
I think it's just gamers. I really just think it's gamers, right? Okay. I mean, we've been around for so long. It's just
not gamers. the major maniacs or something like that.
Larry. For people that are on the show, we call them friends of the show. So maybe it's just friends of the show.
I love that.
But I know you do listen each week, and it's always I appreciate that. But it's great to have you in here, Malik. Of course, you work on our team that works with creators and some of that other cool stuff. That's kind of a fun gig you got there.
Yes, Jeff's the manager. He's our fearless leader. But yeah,
you don't have to say good things.
Yes, this is,
I have to. Jeff, come on, it's been great working with creators. I think it's a space that I've always respected. I was a creator. I'm not going to tell everyone my channel. I used to review wrestling shows on YouTube back in 2009.
Really?
Really that's where I started honing my on-camera personality. Right. The videos are horrifying to go back and watch, but you need those moments to kind of get better. And so I really respect the creator space. And so it's been great working with
now Malik folks. You say you'd be horrified, but since you do have watched the show, that I have solicited friends of this show to go out and find Jeff's old weatherman videos on YouTube.
I keep hearing about this, and I feel like I've sent you a message, Jeff, asking if that was true. And so here's my question. Is there actually footage for people to find,
Jeff? Are you sending us on a fool's errand?
It exists. It's on a public YouTube channel. I will say this much. It's not tagged correctly. So good luck finding it. Other people have tried. Yeah. And what's amazing is that people that have come back, they were like, was this you? And it was like, here's somebody that in 1998 was 40 years old. And I'm like... Oh. No, that wasn't me.
Okay. Well, it's my new life's mission. So I will make sure that it happens.
I'll show it to you.
Anyway.
We'll find it.
I'll
anyway,
show it to you, but without a link.
We're gonna rock into some stuff here since you're kind of filling in right now, Malik. We'll kind of let you go first in terms of what you're playing. I know you're playing Apex.
Wow. Always. How'd you know?
I've been creeping on you.
I have two answers, and I'm sure it's going to be one that resonates with Jeff a little bit. So I will start with Apex only because they just released their new event that just came out, and it has a brand new mode that I highly recommend people try. It's called Gun Run. And if you ever play Call of Duty, Gun Game is a mode where you go through and you progress through a set list of weapons. Yep. And the person to complete that, it keeps going up, and the person to complete that first wins. And so Apex has put their own spin on it, which I think has been great. Apex kind of in the Titanfall universe, that competitive FPS kind of game, now adding a lot of the modes from games like Titanfall and Call of Duty with their own spin. So you still have the Legends, you still have the three-person squad. But what's really cool about this one is that it goes through 24 guns, and essentially you share the list of guns with everyone. So if you get a kill, your team then leapfrogs to whatever the next gun is. And so
everybody's kind of leveled up.
Yeah, and so you're not necessarily set to go through each weapon in each match. It's kind of just
depending. So if you carry me, I can get the benefit of the advanced weapons. Okay.
Absolutely. And the really cool thing, I think it's customary in these modes, is the last kill has to be done with a throwing knife, which is new to Apex. And so it's a lot of fun. And I highly recommend folks give it a shot. But the other game that I've been playing is a game that just released this week on Xbox. And per Jeff's recommendation, I'll just give
my... How did you hear that recommendation?
Oh, there it is. Jeff has been singing its praises, and of course, it just released on Xbox. I didn't get a chance to play it last year, but I played about an hour of it last night, and I gotta say, I love it already. I love the idea. It's beautiful, playing on the 4K OLED, of course. However, now that it's on Xbox Game Pass, you can, of course, play it Xbox Cloud Gaming, so I haven't tried it yet, but I'm excited to jump in on my Steam Deck, because I feel like this is a great... single player, you stay focused travel game. And so I'm really looking forward to it. And thank you for the recommendation, Jeff.
That's all right, awesome. Jeff.
That's what I do. I started playing again last night as well. I did the thing every time I'm playing an arcane game, or really any game that allows you to sort of play your way, but arcane is sort of the masters of this, where here's a big arena. You can climb up high.
Here's a sandbox. Have
people.
Fun.
You can just try to barrel through people. You can sneak up behind people and, you know, a myriad ways to do things. And so I play through, I played on PC last year, I beat the game. I was like 98% stealth, avoiding combat wherever possible. I always loved the idea of, I came through here and those people had no idea I was here. I did the objective. I stole the thing. I got whatever and it was done. I was like, this time I'm going through, guns blazing. I'm just going to just kick people off of ledges and who cares? Immediately, I just like found, I hit the B button and I'm like crawling, beep, 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 beep. And that's just who I am. And I'm going to end up playing the game through probably almost exactly the same. There are some new updates that I'm really interested to try out where there are certain trinkets. So trinkets can be things that either up level or sort of give you different abilities, and they can be subbed out every time you leave an area and go to another area, yeah. Or they can be added to weapons depending on what type of trinket it is. But they're doing something where it combines two together, which basically will allow you to just have that many more different factors into the way that you play. The example they gave was like, you could put one that increases your speed with another trinket that allows you to damage people by running into them. And it was something like a bulldozer or freight train, like combo one. So it will encourage, instead of like min-maxing, you know, just for like, okay, here's the things that are going to keep me alive, or these are the things I'm comfortable with. You'll have just that many more sort of slots effectively to experiment a little bit. And that's what I want to do this time. I'm going to try to make myself jump into a room full of people and just see if I can cause havoc, because that's just not my way.
Deathloop, now available on Xbox Game Pass. In fact, we were talking about Game Pass a little bit and what we're playing, and you know, I kind of got something going on.
It's the gloves.
Whoa.
You can kind of see what I'm playing here. Oh, what is that? In fact, do you want me to go full screen, Jeff, so I can show it?
I do, Larry.
This is and you've got the details on this device. This is a great new Logitech device that was announced a couple of days ago, earlier this week. And I am playing, as you can see, Deathloop on it, little Halo Infinite, Grounded, the game preview. And then the game that you turned me on to last week, Wrath of the Witch, of the White Witch.
So Ni No Kuni.
Yeah, yes, so there it is.
On the right. So that is the Logitech G Cloud handheld. Of course, we want people to be able to play their games wherever they are. You can play it on iOS. You can play it on Android. You can play on your Xbox. You can play on a PC.
You can play it on a Steam Deck if you do the right things.
Exactly. So now here's a device. And how's it feel? This is what I'm dying to try.
The immediate thing that people look at when they see this is, oh, it looks like a Steam Deck or a Switch, and it feels really good. And I have not had a chance. I did hold a Steam Deck, an early version of it, but those are heavy. This device is not that heavy, but it just has a nice feel to it. I've been really great with it. I've been traveling with it. You know, I went to Atlanta a couple weeks ago. I had this in my carry-on. I've been taking it with me where I go, and it's just great to have access to all of your xCloud library right here, and it's fun. So, you know, Phil tweeted on, I mean, Jeff, I don't know if you or Malik have talked to Phil about this, but Phil, when I had a meeting with Phil a few weeks ago, was like, this never leaves my side. And it's true.
That's, it doesn't. Awesome.
He like pulls it out, and it's, I can understand it now, because this thing is just so fun. So
that device is not just for Xbox Cloud Gaming. So the way it will work, if you get one and you first boot it up, again, it's called the Logitech G Cloud, you will see the Xbox Cloud Gaming shortcut pinned to the home screen.
Yep.
So that's where you can go. But we're also working with Logitech to enable remote play, so that you'll be able to directly connect to your console. And to be able to play games that might not be part of the, you know, cloud gaming, go through your full Xbox library. So why not both? There you go.
You can see
a lot of other things.
It's got xCloud on here. It's got GeForce. It's got Steam Link. Those are all the things I see on this one. I don't know what else can be loaded on, but you know, we're talking about xCloud, and it's been,
you're living in the future. I feel growing up, like I grew up with the Game Boy, Game Boy SP, and the idea of getting console yep. quality gameplay on a handheld was just foreign to me. And so now that we're in the world with the Steam Deck and now with the G Cloud, where you can just literally play Deathloop, a fully fledged console experience in your hand, is just amazing. And so I'm excited.
Well, I mean,
I like that you think that I have conversations with Phil as well. So that made me happy. okay. But well, that's besides the point.
But anyway, so yeah, Jeff, thanks for, and we'll put a link to that was the information that was announced this week. I think they're doing pre-order soon and then it'll be available next month, October. So that's there a fun go. Little piece. We kind of stumbled into the what we're playing session because I couldn't talk about what we're playing without showing what I was playing. So that's why I wanted to bring this up here. Jeff, what have you been playing this week? I mean, I know you've been playing Deathloop, and let's talk about the JRPG section of the show.
That's true. I did finish Soul Hackers 2, which I've been playing. It ended up playing for 40 hours. I didn't know it was going to be as long as that, but I really enjoyed that game. Like a more adult-themed Persona type game made by Atlus as well. I wanted to make sure I got that done before Persona 5 comes to Xbox next month. But knowing that Deathloop was coming on Tuesday, I finished Sunday. I had a day in the middle and I ended up saying, all right, I'm going to play something lightweight, something where I'm not going to get overly invested. And that ended up being You Suck at Parking, which if you live in Seattle, that's everybody. Like worse than most places, you know, if you're from the East Coast, which this whole group is, man, people in Seattle suck at parking. But now it's in game form. And basically the way this goes, it's sort of a top-down, maybe isometric-ish view. You're controlling like a little.
Is it on XCloud?
Jalopy. It's on. It should be on XCloud. It's part of Game Pass.
Okay.
And the way it works, it reminds me of the controls of RC Pro-Am, which you may remember as a rare classic from the NES. You can also play it in Rare Replay, which I very much enjoyed doing. And you control this little car, and you just have to park it as quickly as possible through increasingly
like a smart
complicated
car?
Basically yes. So you have X amount of time and you have these increasingly complicated tracks, and you have multiple spots on the track, and you basically just need to get the car into the spot and park. But because of the way the controls are and like left on your left stick is left from the perspective of the car. But sometimes the car's going to the right. Sometimes the car's going up or down. And so you just have to like sort of put your mind into it. Again, very much like RC Pro-Am back in the day. And it is harder than it sounds. And so
it sounds pretty hard to me.
Yes. And so you want to like to get it gold, you have to do it without dying. Your cars are constantly
you're dying when you're parking your car.
You're constantly flying off of the track, or you're hitting electrified fences or anything. Like it is the norm to do it. So it has very much like a Trials HD sort of like feel to it, where it's like, can you pass it? Yes. Can you do it perfect? Yeah. Well, that's where you're going to keep wanting to go back. I can shave some time off. To give you an example, playing this week, it's only been out for a little over a week. On like early levels, like I finished it, it was like, oh, that was pretty good. And then it shows the scoreboard, the online scoreboard. I'm at 117,000th place.
Right.
Like a lot of people are playing this game. It is a really great game to just like, but when you're trying to figure out what you want to play.
Oh, it's here.
You know, there you go. Sometimes you just jump in and it's like, okay, I'm going to run a couple of these levels.
You suck at parking.
It's almost like a bit of a warm up. Sometimes you can find yourself getting really into it. There is a battle pass for customizing your car because it's just like a box effectively when you first start. There's all kinds of stuff. I highly recommend you try it out. It's a perfect game for Game Pass, probably a perfect game for cloud. You can just jump onto it, jump off of it.
You suck at parking.
You know, and try to suck a little less.
I'm going to have to ask, I don't know the answer to, I know Malik, you have a driver's license, right?
Yes.
Yes. But we actually, Jeff and I know we have a friend of ours that works at the office that does not have a driver's license. So I wonder how he's going to do with this.
So, I feel like I agree with Jeff a little bit in that folks in Seattle aren't the greatest parkers. Cause I feel like I've actively gotten worse since I've like, almost like it's infectious in a way. Cause like now I try and parallel park and I'm like, I'm just going to go and not go to this establishment because I can't get into this spot. And so I feel like I'm just gaining all this, the bad Seattle habits and like lack of, you know, ability to do these things. But that's it. It's a fascinating game. Jeff, it does sound pretty hard to me. So the fact that it's hard
check it out.
It doesn't start hard. It's hard to be awesome. It is not necessarily hard to like pass a level. And so it's one of those things where for people that really just have to get like perfect 3 stars across the board, that, and there's people exist. I live with some of those people. Then they could spend a lot of time with it. But sometimes you just want to jam through. I would say it's like total, I would call it lean back gaming, where you're just okay. sort of like, yeah, you know? And when you're done, you just, you come back later. And so there's many, many levels and it's on Game Pass. Try it out. You saw it marking.
I'll have to check that out. And as you said, it's on Game Pass, which is kind of cool. I just, by the way, Jeff, I just texted you the name of that person. I didn't want to out them on the show. So, I just figured
really?
Yeah, exactly. He just doesn't have a driver's license. Well, so,
you know what? I mean,
who knew?
Who knew?
They're watching this right now.
You don't need it.
Yeah.
They may be watching right now, but enough. So check that out. That's on Game Pass. And it's also on xCloud if you want to do that. So if you want to just, and that's a great thing also, is you can check out these games. If you have a console, Xbox One or Xbox Series X, or S, you can just, you know, stream it right to the console to kind of take the parking for a test drive before you install you it.
I like it.
It is a small like download anyway, but yeah. If you want to save, I think it's only like 6 gigs, but you know right. what? You know, you'll know pretty quickly if you're going to be into it.
Jeff, before we get into the interviews, which are going to come up in a second, we got a little bit of news to go over. So I don't know if you could cue us up with some news.
A little bit. We got some great news this week. All right.
First by the way, you need a controller for that game.
You do. I think my battery's low. Well, you know what? Let's talk about that. There's a new system update, the Xbox September update. One of the headline features is oh wow, this is just a normal Elite Series 2 controller, or is it? Whoa.
Oh. Yeah, yours comes through this? A little bit better than mine. Let me try to shut my studio lights off so you can kind of see it.
And there's green.
Look at that.
And there's back
there to you white. Go. That's a little bit better.
So the
you did blue like I did blue.
I did. It stands out. So there's an ability. If you have an Elite Series 2, it could be the new core white one, or it could be one that you've had for a couple of years. The LED within the Xbox button has the ability to shine over 16 million different combinations of colors. So we open that up to you.
Yeah. So what's interesting here is I remember when we shipped the Elite Series 2, I remember, Jeff, remember I was talking engineering and I came to you and I said, hey, they can make them different colors. And they're like, really? That. So what Jeff's point is
taking credit for this, by the way,
Malik. No, I'm not. I'm just merely saying is that, you know, the ability to do RGB on the LED has been in there since day one. We just recently uncorked it. So it's been sleeping inside your controller.
Yeah. So if you go to the Xbox accessories app, you go to configure and then you go into the different you have different profiles. So that's what this is. In fact, you can set a different color for each profile. So you see I'm switching colors there. I should have picked more divergent colors, but you can do that. And you can use sliders. You can pick predetermined ones. It has hex code support. So if you want to get the exact right color for something, you're able to do that.
Like, what's the hex code of that shirt you're wearing, Jeff? I don't know what that is.
I'll let you know. But it's like 60 million colors. I'm sure that, thank you. Thank you.
I'm not saying I didn't like it. I just was like, I've not seen you in that color before.
Well, you know, it's like Deathloop has that kind of like that 70s-ish vibe or 60s right. vibe, something.
They're kind of muted autumnal colors.
There you go. I had a pumpkin spice latte this week, first one of the year. And I wanted to wear it. Oh, you've got one now?
Yeah. Well, pumpkin cream cold brew, but close enough.
Those are really good. Those are
amazing.
Yeah. If you want to mix up if it's still warm where you're at, which if you're in like 85% of America, then it's still pretty hot. Pumpkin cream cold brew, way to go. So good. You can switch over to the PSL once it cools down. All right. So what else is in this update? There's a full library revamp. So the way when you go to My Games and Apps and you want to look at, you know, all the different ways that you can sort your games, you can look at one view now that incorporates everything from the games that you own to games if you have Xbox Game Pass that are unlocked with that, EA Play, Xbox Live Gold, you know, the games with gold, apps, everything. There's all different ways to sort it, just giving you more options there. You can select storage locations. Like, let's say you want your apps to be on an external drive, or if you have backward compatible games, they don't need to necessarily be on the SSD. You can have that on an external USB drive. Yep. You could have it so those things go there automatically. You could have it so, you know, your your modern Xbox S and X optimized games are, you know, on the internal storage, or if you have one of our expansion cards, you can just, it's your choice. So put it where you want to. And then party, there also, there's some party chat noise suppression, which was available on Xbox Series X and S, is now available on Xbox One as well.
Yep.
And then also on Windows 10 and 11 PCs. And we should probably talk a little bit about that, because there was also a really big update. The Windows 11 2022 update also hit this week. It's update season. It's not just PSL Love season. It's update season.
At least so, around here it is.
There's a lot of updates that incorporate lots of things. Check out the Windows blog if you want to see everything. But from a gaming perspective,
by the way, I'm working on getting Panos on a future podcast.
Oh, that'd be great.
See, we had him on last year, and because he's kind of the one of the heads of Windows, and he's great to have on. He's a big gamer too, so we want to get him on. So stay tuned.
That's awesome. So there's a controller bar. And so that it's basically an updated view of the Xbox game bar that lets you, like switch games and, you know, move through things more simply. Cause when you're using your controller on your PC, sometimes you don't want to have to like necessarily like put down, go to the mouse, go back and forth for some of the things you might want to access very quickly. You're able to just jump back and forth by hitting the Windows button and, you know, sliding over to it. There's, graphics improvements. I won't get into all of that, but basically, if you, some people like to run their games windowed because they have multiple things going on instead of full screen, more options, more performance enhancements for that, including auto HDR. There's new gaming features for Edge. We have all of this summed up for you on Xbox Wire, news.xbox.com.
Latest update.
Windows 11 2022 updates available today. You'll see it near the top of the blog. I'll go ahead and make that go towards the top of the blog, and you should check all of that out. You could just get the new Windows by just going into updates through your menu there. What else?
We talked more
about Deathloop coming to Game Pass, but that is not all. So coming into Xbox Game Pass, of course, Deathloop is available today. So is Hardspace Shipbreaker. This game was available, I want to say, on Steam, like early access, and a lot of people were talking about it. It's now available through cloud, Xbox Series X and S, and PC Game Pass. So anywhere you play, you'll be able to play Hardspace Shipbreaker. Coming soon, we also have, actually available now, a game called Spider Heck, which is a couch co-op brawler. Beacon Pines is available. It's sort of a cute, creepy storybook adventure. Slime Rancher 2, I know we have a conversation that'll be happening soon. Slime Rancher 1 was incredibly popular on Xbox platforms. And so Slime Rancher 2
is bringing this up for you.
Yeah, thank you. It's in game preview. So you get to work, and I'm sure during the conversation, you'll be able to find out how to share feedback back with the developers of Slime Rancher. You see Moon Scars as well. Grounded, we've been talking about this for some time. The full release of that is September 27th. Malik, you've been working very closely with Obsidian. So that's when the story comes to Grounded, and the game will be fully complete. It's added so much. If you hadn't played since kind of like when it came out 2 years ago, you would be shocked at how much new content is available there now.
We talked about that because that was the last time we were in public, because I did the interview, we did PAX East, and I had some of the folks from Grounded on the podcast, and that weekend is when the world was changing one of the many weekends with the pandemic.
Yeah, because it was summer of 2020 when the game first released into Xbox early access.
But we talked about it earlier that year.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And then it's so much has happened in the last 2 years. Within Grounded, we can leave the rest of that, you know, elsewhere. So that'll be next week. Looking forward to actually now going back through, seeing everything that's changed, getting achievements now, playing through the story. Let's co-op this, gentlemen. Can we do that? And then two other games to mention. Let's Build a Zoo. I don't know if it's related to We Bought a Zoo, the movie. I'm assuming not, but you know, Let's Build a Zoo. That's next week. Valheim, very popular game on Steam, is in game preview for PC. You can play, it's a sort of a Norse-themed survival game where you can play with up to 10 players. And then this one, Larry, maybe you play with your daughter. Paw Patrol Grand Prix will be available on day one with Game Pass. We know that these are very popular with parents who have Game Pass at night. Play Deathloop when your kids are awake. Play Paw Patrol Grand Prix.
Game for everyone. Yes. Love it.
Okay. All right. Big week.
Well, yeah, big week. And we're also continuing to support and honor Hispanic Heritage Month. So if you tune into twitch.tv/Xbox, you would have seen all week, we've had guest creators on the show or on our channel, usually morning shift Pacific time, early afternoon if you're on the East Coast. And that will continue next week as well. So we ask you to welcome our guest creators, and they'll be playing all kinds of new stuff or whatever they're super into. And it's been fun. It's always fun to welcome new folks to the community. And please.
And more importantly, give them the Xbox channel and the spotlight to just kind of let them maybe have access to an audience they normally wouldn't and grow their own audiences. We're all about that. And I'm sitting here with two people that work with the creators all the time. So that's what you guys do.
Yeah. It's been really great going into the chat while they're playing and just the amount of love that is in the chat and also the joy that's on their faces when they see people like jumping in and discovering from the first time, going back to their channel to follow them. Yep. It's one of the most fulfilling parts because I think, you know, in the industry, obviously there's like a ton of underrepresented communities. And so it's just really great to be able to use the platform that we have to spotlight them. And they're so grateful for it, but at the same time, so are we. So it's just been a really great part of what the team's been doing.
Well said, Malik. Well said. Anyway, Jeff, anything else you got there? Otherwise, I think we should roll in these interviews. We want to learn about Slime Ranch, and then a good friend of the show, Danny Pena, is going to join us and talk about his kid's book. So why don't we, Malik, we're going to go to you and you can bring us into those interviews.
Let's do it with my beautiful vacuum in the back. Yes, recently released, as we talked about, Slime Rancher 2, one of the most colorful games I've ever seen, just released into Xbox Game Pass. Here to talk about it is co-founder and CEO, Nick Popovich.
All right, Slime Gang, you got to be very excited because Slime Rancher 2 is now available on Xbox Game Pass. And joining me today to tell us about it is Nick Popovich, who's the co-founder and CEO of Monomi Park. Nick, great to see you.
Thank you very much for having me, Larry. It's great to be here.
It's quite exciting. And Slime Rancher came out, and I remember back in the day, everybody was playing it. I mean, millions of people played it. Now you're back with number two. Tell us about, first of all, shipping the first one and then the road to shipping Slime Rancher 2, if you would.
Sure. So with the first one, you know, we hoped a bunch of people would play it. A few more did than we were expecting. So it was just a few of us that shipped the original. We wanted to do something really different. I think we succeeded in doing that. And anytime you do something like that, you're not sure how people are going to receive it. And it turns out everyone really enjoyed it. And we nurtured that game for years because one of the things that we found out was people stuck around an awful long time playing the game. I think one of the things that we discovered that we weren't expecting is the world was just a place people kind of wanted to be in, like to relax. It was like a kind of a Zen experience for a lot of people, which was really surprising. So, you know, ran that for years. The world got very big and new consoles came out.
Yeah.
Our team grew. Yeah. So it was out for a while. And we just wanted to try new stuff. We had a bunch of new talented artists and engineers, and there was things in the backlog of the original Slime Rancher that we knew we would never get around to doing. And so this is a fresh start for us. It's a whole new world. We get to continue the adventure, a total reimagining of the setting. The first one was kind of like a dusty Old West vibe, and this time we're going for like a prismatic island, like a magical island, and it's lush and, you know, beautiful. There's water everywhere. So it's just very different than the first time.
I mean, the original Slime Rancher launched in 2017. This is, you know, pre-pandemic, pre current generation of Xbox. So it was, you know, it seems so long ago. And now you essentially have developed this game through the pandemic, right? And now you're shipping it on a new platform. You talked about some of the features, but I mean, it feels like there was another layer of challenge here with all that was going on in the world, right?
Yeah, certainly. And you know, we're extremely fortunate that games weren't as affected as kind of the rest of the world in terms of what we really had to worry about. We were able to work remote and everything, but obviously, you know, it was hard for everyone. And I don't know. For me at least, and I'm sure for several people on the team, like this was kind of like a happy place that you could retreat to. Like it came at the worst possible thing, of course, came at probably the best time for us, where like the development had sort of hit its stride with Slime Rancher 2. And so we could just keep our heads down and focus on building out this. I mean, like I was saying before, it's almost like an island getaway. It was an escape. Yeah. You know, I remember developing, you know, what is ostensibly extremely happy parts of this experience when the pandemic was going on and Northern California was having like, the wildfires and everything were making it. So at like noon, it was dark outside and there was just a hellish, like orange fire in the sky, you know, glow. And you're just sitting there going like, make the jiggle a little bit more and make the smile happier. Bigger. And yeah, exactly. Like you're just reacting to what's around you. So I think it, you know, it probably helped inform kind of the theme and the palette that we established for the game. We just pushed to make it as much of a, you know, literally a breath of fresh air as possible for us. So it's a great point.
You know, we talked about it's available on Game Pass, and you know, in 2017 Game Pass really wasn't a thing per se. But you know, now that you're part of Game Pass, there's going to be millions more playing it. But let's take a look at your launch trailer here. I mean, this is really, it's great to see, and this gives you some of the lushness that you just talked about, right? I mean, it looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's a place you want to go. And slime.
Yeah, for sure. The you know, it every part of this world is colorful, like in a hyper color kind of way. Like the grass that you saw earlier is constantly shifting in color in real time. Anything that looks like, oh, it might be white rock or something like you see here, it's actually lavender hues and violets and stuff running between it. Everything has more color to it than you think. I'm a very big fan of like fabrics and materials that look like on a couch, like it looks like it's red and then you get close to it and you see it's like got gold weaved into it, right? And purples and things like that. And that's basically everything in this game. Even the shadows along the edge of the shadows, it pulls in other colors of it as if they're made of watercolor.
Right.
But yeah, it's really something. I don't think anything else looks like it. Especially not a first-person game.
Yeah, it looks, I mean, Slime Rancher 2, it's, and again, I can't believe that, well, I can believe, actually, there were 10 million fans of the original one worldwide. I mean, that is
15 million, actually.
Okay, apparently I have dated information. But
Yeah. Well, it snuck up on us, too. It just kind of keeps going, and we just hit another sales milestone, like, a couple weeks ago, and we're like, when did this happen? You know, we just kind of stopped counting after a while.
What do you think the attraction is? Why do people want to play around with slime? I mean, it's fun, right? I mean, it's,
yeah.
But what do you think the attraction is to get these 15 million plus folks, you know, into your universe?
Well, I think it controls like a lot of games people are familiar with. At the end of the day, you play it like a first-person shooter, but the rules of it are completely different, and you get to do every single aspect of this game at your own pace. You can turn parts of the game off that cause too much friction for you, or if you're a young kid, you don't want to experience things that way. So I think it's something that I like to think of Slime Rancher as almost like a warm bath, if you want it to be. You can speed run it. You can do all the things that make it more difficult, but I think the world itself, especially this one, you know, I play it every night and it's just a fun, like relaxing place to be at the end of my day, just for a little bit.
Right.
So I think that's what everyone's getting out of it.
We saw a little bit there. We saw some kind of new zones, the conservatories, the rainbow fields, Starlight Strand. There's a whole bunch of other areas and it looks beautiful. You know, it looks like you've got an upgraded graphic engine. Certainly it's on this generation. So that's got to provide, it's got to be even just a little bit more slimier, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite enhancements that we have is like the slimes, jiggle in real time. They actually react to other slimes touching them. And that, I mean, you get enough smart people in the room like we did, you got to focus on the important things in life, right? So that's one of the things that we
need more jiggle.
Made sure we would do. Yeah, exactly. Like, make it realistic. So
did you have people like, you know, in the conference room or on the calls holding like a bowl of Jello going, maybe it needs to do something like this?
There's been plenty of gifts of that, like that Japanese pudding and Jello and that's a constant source of inspiration for sure.
Now you also, one of the things we noticed in the first one is, or at least in this one, the crafting system is introduced earlier on in the game, right? So people can kind of get into that a little bit earlier and you can upgrade your vacuum, or you can craft upgrades for your vac. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's a direct reaction to, it would sound like I won't shut up about it now, but the 15 million players,
right.
You know, there's an awful lot of people that have played the game. They're familiar with it. So we kind of, you know, for the second one, took it a step up and said, some, you know, we've got a lot of people who are familiar with how this works. They're going to want to get to what was a really interesting aspect of the first one straight away. And so it's there, but we don't force it. Just like everything else in the game, you could ignore it and experience Slime Rancher 2 basically the way the first one began if you wanted to, or you could dig right into, you know, crafting and upgrading and slime science, as it's known.
We saw a little bit of the world, and it's much more expansive and lush right now. You talked about that, but there's also like different paths and there's things blocking your paths to get into other areas. That's kind of a new mechanic, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, the whole world's more vertical than it was before. You know, we had, because it's on new hardware, we're able to make the world a lot bigger than it was before. And so we're still in game preview and we're going to be constantly expanding that and adding to the world. But the world that we have now is definitely more intricate than the first one. There's a lot more reasons to revisit parts of it, learn shortcuts, that sort of thing. And then there's going to, you know, at the edge of the world in for what we have released so far, there is a large obstruction that will open up the next part of the world further down the line as we develop Slime Rancher 2.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I know that, you know, with everyone that's coming out of the pandemic or dealing with everyday life, you know, you talked about fires and earthquakes and everything else that's going on in the world. It's going to be great to retreat to your little rainbow world of Slime Rancher 2. It's available on Game Pass right now. Mm-hmm. Came out earlier, you know, depending on when you're listening, this came out a few days ago or last week. And what are some tips you want to have people think about when they get into this? Do they need to play the first Slime Rancher, or can they go in cold?
No, you don't need to play the first Slime Rancher. If you did, you'll definitely appreciate a few moments more, because a lot of the characters that you met in the first game are brought back into the second one, and you should appreciate interacting with them a little bit more. As far as tips go, I would say just take it slow. Do things at your own pace. There is nothing in the game that is going to be telling you need to do this right now. There's no objectives that need, you know, require are time sensitive. So any choice that you make, anything that you want to pursue, any slime you want to wrangle and just focus on, you'll be rewarded for doing that. So I would say wherever the wind blows you and whatever looks like the most curious corner that you want to investigate, pursue that. And there is no harm in doing that.
All right, Nick, appreciate it. There's no reason not to try it out, you Game Pass members. Get on this right mm-hmm. now. So Nick Popovich, yeah. You're the CEO of the team behind Slime Rancher and celebrating 15 million members and Slime Rancher 2. So congratulations on the launch and thanks for all the slime.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Hope everyone enjoys it.
Danny Pena, I am so excited to have you on the show. Known as Godfrey, first of all, welcome, Danny. Good to see you.
Good. Thanks a lot, Larry, for having me on. Actually, the last time I was on, you probably not going to remember this, but this was 2007.
Oh, no. This
was E3 Santa Monica.
It
was like a brief thing.
Right.
I had to give you feedback about the press conference.
Right.
And Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the first one that came out.
That's going way well. Then I'm sadly way overdue because you've had me on your show a couple times and it's great to have you on again. And I apologize for being so tardy many years later. But here we are, you know, 15 years later. But it's good to see you, man. I mean, you're one of the few podcasts. We're going to talk. You're an author, co-author now, but you're one mm-hmm. of the few podcasts that predates my podcast. I mean, you've been on for how long?
Wow. Now it's been over 17 years just with Gamertag Radio, but with internet radio, I've been doing this since 01. So
yeah,
21 years now.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's time flies, man.
Yeah, and I've had the opportunity to know you and work with you since probably 2004-ish or so. So right after you got started, and you've been bouncing around. You've certainly, you know, still hosting the podcast. You've had quite a, tell us a little bit about your journey, because you've been all around the games industry.
Yeah, well, for me, you know, I've always been a fan of games since I was a kid. My grandmother actually bought me my first Atari 2600 back in the days. But then, you know, I became a huge fan of Nintendo. And then fast forward, I went to an event in New York City in 2001 called Xbox Unleashed. This was like the first time getting hands-on of the original console. And I wasn't sure about the console at all. I was like, let's see. I was curious. I was all about Nintendo at that time.
Right.
And then I got to play it, and I fell in love with the console. Man, I was like, this is amazing. My God, what? So then the team, I read, you know, the original team, Jay Adler and everybody else back then. And then I went to the launch because Xbox invited me.
Right.
Times Square, Toys R Us. And from there, I got to meet Bill Gates, got to play Fusion Frenzy with him at that time, too. And yeah, after that, I was just so inspired with just the console, the team. And I created Gamertag Radio in 2005. And originally back then, and you probably remember this, Larry, I used to record interviews through the Halo 2 lobby.
That's right. I remember
Xbox
that.
Live. Yeah. There was no Skype. That's how I used to do my interviews back then, man.
Yeah, so. You do what you can do, but you've gone a long way. You've been bouncing around the industry and working in different parts of it now. But, you know, I want to talk to you. You wrote a book, or you co-authored a book, and that's really exciting. And we've got the front of it right here. Danny loves video games. Tell us about this, because this is a fascinating project.
Yeah, for me, one of the things that my cousin, his name is Mr. Luna, him and his wife, Annie, they created a company called Two Quality People. And they've been creating books now for a couple of years, and they came up to me and asked me like, hey, Danny, I would like to write a book about you because you have a really interesting story and very inspiring. So the main reason why I want to do this is because when I was a kid, I didn't have no mentor or anything like that. And I always wanted to be part of the gaming industry, and I had to learn everything on my own. Now that I've been part of the industry, I want to just inspire the young kids that would like to become a content creator, developer, or anything that has to do with gaming. So that's the main reason. So in there, you'll find out more about me, like growing up, getting my first video game console, and also talk about how I created Gamertag Radio with my little brother, and so on. So the main thing is I just want to inspire the kids, and also for the parents. You know, my father back then, he didn't really get it at that time. Now he's like a huge supporter, you know, but back then, he was like, Danny, you're wasting your time. This is not good. This doesn't pay the bills. Right. And I had to prove to him that it is possible to build a business. You know, actually, when I was a little kid, I was living in the Dominican Republic, and I was like in my early teens, and I had a lot of Super Nintendos and Sega Genesis. And I came up to my mom and I told her if it's possible for me to rent an office and have a bunch of TVs and my consoles there, and I would charge my friends to play with my consoles.
Look at
I would
you.
Charge them like, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour. And they'll be like, all right, Danny, she loved the idea. We did it. And people were requesting to play at that time, Donkey Kong Country, you know, all the cool games, Mortal Kombat and everything. And that's how I started back then, just experimenting. And look at me now, man.
So you're a podcaster, author, and you know, entrepreneur in so many ways. I never knew that about you. That's a fascinating story. Yeah, it's interesting how you talk about that. You know, I grew up in New England, which is not a center for game development or video games back when we were growing up, and you and I are not quite the same age, but we kind of came through the same era. It was very different. I mean, nowadays you can open up a web browser and start a camera and start stream. Anybody can stream for the most part. And you kind of feel like you're part of the industry. Whereas when you and I were growing up, we didn't have that. You talked about, you know, doing interviews in the Halo lobby. There wasn't this, the universe wasn't so connected and small. And it feels like you can just get right to those people and reach out and touch them. Whereas when you and I, we had to kind of find our way into the industry, right?
Yeah. I learned on my own. You know, I have to give thanks to you guys. You know, when I started my early days, you guys were the first one to hit me up and gave me that access to not only to meet the team that worked on any of the projects, but also getting hands on and just those cool opportunities, man. Like I want to do that, especially now. There's a lot of talented Latinos in the U.S. and in Latin America, and they feel left out. They don't know what to do, how to do it. I'm trying my best to see how can I get more gaming companies to have to give them access. Maybe also have a free workshop for them to learn about game development, stuff like that. So I've been trying that now for a couple of years now.
Yeah, it's funny because I just remembered that today this month is National or is Xbox is Hispanic Heritage Month, which is another thing. And you kind of touched on that a little bit, but it's you know Xbox has always been about the community. And I remember the early days like you were just talking about, where you were in 2005 when we launched the Xbox 360, and you used to come out to those old offices. Remember Millennium at the end of the highway and all
that?
Yes,
I remember that. Very old school. I remember that. Yeah, I was there for Lost Planet. Yep. There was a Lord of the Rings game. Yeah, it was a couple of times. Yeah.
Yeah, you would come out. It was always great when we heard that Godfrey was on campus, that you were here and it really felt, like you were part of the team in the early days. Cause if you remember, nowadays, I know you talk to Phil Spencer, and the team is just so large and we're such a huge part of Microsoft. But back in the day, we were a bunch of kind of random folks at the end of the highway next to a gravel pit, weren't we?
Yeah. But believe it or not, you guys have always been passionate about everything you guys do over there.
Yeah.
And still to this day, I went to the event that you guys had at E3, it was during Summer Game Fest.
Right.
I went there with Paris and my wife Rihanna, and it felt different. It felt, but in a good way.
Right.
I felt like you guys were more open, willing to take more risk, and it was great seeing the community there at the event. It felt back then you guys used to do a C3.
Yep. Remember those? That's right. Days. Yeah,
I was there too. I still have those passes, man, believe it or not.
that was my idea when we did those community celebration events.
That was your idea?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
We used to, for those of you that don't remember, we used to, back before, content creators were, you certainly were one of the originals, but before it was a big thing, we would close down after hours at E3 in Los Angeles, we'd have community events. We had this beautiful booth. And I was like, let's just use the booth at night. And certainly it was more expensive because I don't know if you remember, it was always warm in there because I had to pay $100,000 for the air conditioner because we had to cool the whole place. It was crazy. But it was just so much fun to have folks just there to get hands-on experience with the games and to meet each other. And I was able to meet you and, of course, Paris and so many other folks in the industry that have gone on. To work in different parts, whether it's media or game development. So it's been a fun ride, hasn't it? It's not over yet.
Yeah. It's not over yet, but I just love that, man. And I'm glad that you guys are still doing FanFest. I think that's very important for companies to do that in the industry or overall, So keep it up, man. Love that.
I want to get back to the book because we're kind of on a little bit of a book tour. Cause it's funny. You know who else wrote a book that I recently had on the show was Reggie, another friend of yours.
Reggie, yes. Yes. Actually, I gotta say thanks to Reggie. It took me 10 years to get him on the show.
Really?
10 years. Yes.
Why? Was it after he left Nintendo?
Yeah, after he left Nintendo, he was more open to do interviews, But it took me 10 years. And then because of the Phil Spencer interview, the 4-hour 1000 episode, Reggie contacted me and he's like, yeah, let's do the interview. It took us another year because of schedule.
Right.
But then after that, he invited me to speak, to be part of a keynote with him.
Yeah.
A fireside chat for GameSpeed a couple months back.
I remember that.
A couple days after I got married, I had to do that right away. But it was cool, man. So I'm glad that he gave me that opportunity, man.
Yeah, and he's another one who's kind of had quite an interesting, and we can go back and listen to your interview or my interview with him. He's just a great person. And that's the one thing about this industry is we're, certainly Nintendo and Xbox on some fronts were competing, But at the end of the day, I think Phil has done a great job. Phil Spencer's done a great job talking about when everybody plays, we all win. And that's so true. You know, I had people attack me on Twitter, you know, the PlayStation fans or whatever. Look, let's just play some games. I'm not going to hate you for liking what you like. Let's just play games. That's all that matters, right, Danny?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I have everything. I have every console, all the games. I'm a huge fan. And here's the thing, too, like, I love that you guys are also investing a lot on like xCloud and stuff like that. The reason why I'm very excited for that is there's going to be people that can't afford to buy a gaming console or a PC, but they have an Android device, they have an iOS device, right? And they could also be part of our community and play the same games that I've been playing too. So I'm just happy to see that Xbox is just doing so many different things that is going to help to grow the community overall, just the industry overall, you know? Right. So yeah, man, like you said, man, when everybody plays, we all win.
You know, it's, I want to get back to just, and I'm going to show the book cover again here. Your book is now, it's available on Amazon and pretty much where all the better books are sold. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So you can find it at Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Walmart, online for now, but we also have a Spanish version too. You know, there's a lot of gamers in the Caribbean, Latin America, you know, so I want to try to get them too, man.
You did the audiobook, right?
No audiobook just yet. Right now we're just focusing on the book, but I definitely want to do audiobook. Yeah, I mean, gotta do that.
Just like me, somebody who's been in audio for so long, it feels like you kind of have to do that, right? Maybe we should have, should we have Paris read it?
Hey, Paris has a great voice.
I know, exactly. <He'll be>
perfect. And Larry, you should also write a book, man. I think you have a lot of cool behind the scenes stories about your career too, man. And also as a podcaster, I would love to learn more about you. Like, how was the process of changing the industry? Because at that time, nobody was doing that, what you were doing now. You know what I'm saying? So
I know. First of all, it's funny, Danny. I've actually been writing a mental outline of what my book would look like for whenever, way in the future. I have no desire to retire right now. Because, you know, problem when you work in this industry, you just have so much fun. Every day we come to work, I get to talk to great people and work with great people like you. It's just fun, and you don't want it to end. Right? You just want to keep going.
Yeah.
It just keeps going. And when you find a job like you have or I have or people that work in the games industry, you kind of want to do it forever, right? Because it's fun.
Yeah, man. You know what? I still feel like the same kid when I started back then. You know, I used to mess around with my dad's equipment. He used to be a DJ back then.
Uh-huh.
So I will grab his tape recorder, press record, and at night I will listen to the cassettes. And I will picture my own like scene of whatever it is that I'm recording in the background, man. So I started like that and everything. And I just love podcasts. I just don't see myself stopping anytime soon.
Yeah. Man. And there's no reason to. You and I are going to be in the old folks home still doing a show.
Yeah. I'm still having fun with this. You know what? The day that I'm not having fun, probably you're going to feel the same way, but that's the day I'll stop.
Yeah, that's the day you're going to hang up your headphones, right? You're just like, I don't want to do this anymore.
No more talking to Paris and Pete. I'm done.
Well, hopefully, I know you got many more shows for you, but more importantly, Danny Loves Video Games is available right now on all these great places. Danny is a co-author. It's phenomenal to be able to talk to you, and I've just so enjoyed your success, and I know that you've got a lot of stuff ahead of you, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what you're going to do and some of the other great things you have planned. So I want to thank you, Danny, and let's tell people how they follow you on the socials. It just popped up here. But for those listening, how do we find you?
Yeah, find me on any social media outlet right there. Just look up Godfrey. I'm there. And especially Twitter, I'm very active there.
Yeah.
But if you want, subscribe to our podcast, Gamer Tag Radio. We're in every podcast platform out there. Just look it up and subscribe and follow us, man. We release two episodes a week.
There you go. That's unbelievable, Danny. I appreciate it. Keep up the great work. And we will we'll have you on again in another less than 15 years, I promise.
Yes, let's make it happen.
All right. What a great interview, Larry, with Nick Popovich, Slime Rancher. I didn't get to play the first Slime Rancher, but I'm excited to try out Slime Rancher 2. Of course, coming to Xbox Game Pass, as we talked about, just a great opportunity to try a brand new game for me and a game that people have loved, the sequel to a game that people love. So that's awesome.
Yeah, we also
big fan of that vacuum, by the way.
Yeah,
I know. I had a note to move it before we start recording, and then I remembered it was back there, and I was like, "Oh, should I get up when it's on a single shot of Jeff or Larry and move it?" And I was like, "No, it's too risky. They'll come back to me." So now it'll be forever part of
the vacuum. The vacuum is now co-host on the show.
Number one Dyson, use for that vacuum in this house, killing spiders.
What's that?
Oh, yes.
That's the number one. That is like the, if you live in the Pacific Northwest, spiders get
I
in the
let
house.
Spiders they're live up. In my, I don't kill them. If they're near
I'm
my
I'm fine
bed,
with them outside. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
that's
yeah. That's
fair. Anyway.
These walls are here for a reason.
Spiders. Also, thanks to Danny Pina, who we talked about his authored kids' book. So it's always good to have Danny on. Known him for almost 20 years now. It's kind of crazy how we've known each other for 20 years. And next generation of gamers is coming along. That's why I wrote a kid's book.
I say juggernaut in the industry as far as creators go. I love the fact that, you know, venturing out into a new space and writing a children's book. It's just something that I think should be done more, especially as it, again, pertains to representation. So awesome.
Love yeah.
Larry, okay. You should write a book.
Not you know, that's what Danny said during the interview, and I've actually got a mental outline of one. So maybe it'll be a pop-up book.
Maybe it'll be like a radio. It'll have a built-in transmitter or something. You're like a, you're a radio guy.
It'll and it'll be a combination radio and ice machine. I like
the first
ice.
Ever book. You're turning the publishing industry on its ear.
This is true innovation. Anyway, we're kind of rolling towards the end of the show here. I don't know if you guys have anything else to add, but we're gonna check my notes here. I think we covered everything. Jeff, thank you for covering the news. Malik, it's always good to have you on. Maybe have you on next week. We're working on Rebecca's. Sure. Rebecca's going to be out for extended time, so we're kind of getting a bunch of folks come in. You're always welcome to come back in.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, it's great to see you. I'm looking forward. Thank you for the Apex tips, by the way. That was good stuff. And I'm serious.
Give it a shot.
I may need
2 weeks
to
of Gun Run, by the way. So you only have 2 weeks to play it. I highly recommend you try it.
I'll work on finishing Deathloop. Jeff, thank you for joining us this week, as always.
Of course.
And thank you, by the way, thank you again for that tip on the JRPG, because I'm enjoying the Studio Ghibli.
I just can't believe it that, you know.
I was texting. I mean, you see me playing it. So.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's an awesome game. I really loved it. So I'm glad to see it only took like the greatest, you know, animator that
of ever
the industry has ever turned out to get you to play a JRPG, but you know what, we're here
anyway. All right, gang, we'll see everybody next week. Make sure you hit us up on social if you want to find us. You can see us if you're watching us, you can see all our socials right there at Jeff Rubenstein, at Major Nelson, at Malik Prince. I'll put them up again for you. Any final words, Jeffrey?
Oh no, because okay. If I say final words, that means that's it for okay. me.
All right, and then I won't do that to you anyway, Malik. All right, we'll see you everybody next week. Make sure you like, subscribe, and do all that stuff that everybody else tells you to do at the top of the video. We're going to tell you to do it now. So we'll see you next week, everybody.
Three people still listening. Thank you.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.